Thank you, but I'm not using it. No. You're going to suffocate. Sorry. Okay, in the name of Lord Jesus, we continue with our study on the book of Micah. Okay? Okay. So, we are still on the introduction, yeah? Alright, where are we? Okay. Chapter 2. Micah chapter 2 tells us about, you know, the false prophecy, okay? And how a false prophecy influenced the people of God in the time of Micah, in the time of Hosea, in the time of Amos, also in the time of Isaiah. Now, I think if you have been reading the Old Testament scriptures, you should have discovered that, you know, in fact, false prophecy is one of the main themes, yeah, in the messages, yeah, of the prophets, yeah, to his people. So you find that this will also happen in the end time true church as well, and the extent of or the severity of the infiltration shall be greater than ever before. Right now. I want you to turn to chapter 4, Micah chapter 4. Now, as far as the second section is concerned, and not chapter 4, the second section, yeah, you find that there have been two major problems that the true church will face at the end time. Okay, I want you to read, where is it? Chapter 6. Chapter 6, we read verse 5, yeah? Basically, verse 5, chapter 6 outlines the two major problems that are confronting the church today, okay? Now, I want you to look at verse 5. Now, all my people, remember now what Balak, king of Moab, counseled, and what Balaam, the son of Beor, answered him, from Micaiah Grove to Gilgal, that you may know the righteousness of the Lord, right? Now, I think this has been the one of the major problems in the church today. You know, the writer here is trying to ask the people to recall, you know, one important aspect of their history, that is about, you know, this Balak and Balaam. Right? Now, Balaam has what? Erred in his way because of covetousness. Right? Now, so you know that Balaam was not able to curse the people of God, but he managed to cause the people of God to sin. Right? Now, so it's like here, God wanted them to understand that whatever God has done in the past, in particular, the incident of Balaam, is to remind them that, you know, God wants them to know his righteousness, what is right and what is wrong. Righteousness means things which are done in purity and rightness. Again, you'll find that sometimes the church is not exactly doing that. Okay? Okay? Especially the workers of God like myself. So I must make sure that whatever I do is in the light of God's principle and is according to what? To the righteousness of God. That's the first problem. Now, the second problem I want to read verse 16, chapter 5, verse 16. For the statutes of Omri are kept. All the works of Ahab's house are done. And you walk in the counsel that I may make you a desolation.
What
chapter was it? Chapter 6. Obviously, we are still on chapter 6. Oh, did I say 516?
Yeah.
Oh. I'm testing you. You're not asleep. Very good. Verse 16. Get someone to read, please. Next to read. It's chapter 6, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Okay, if you trace the history of Omri and Ahab, yeah, their father and sons, anyway, right, you find that they have adopted what pagan practices, foreign practices, yeah, and they brought them into the what, into, you know, the community of God. They blended their religions, the pure faith, with pagan practices. Now we obviously do not see this very clearly in the church, but we find that if we are not careful, you know, some of the things that we introduce to the church, yeah, amounts to what? Amounts to like introducing pagan practices. Okay, now this is your assignment. Hallelujah. I want you to list down all the evil deeds that Omri has done and all the evil deeds that Ahab has done. Not many pages, just read through 1 Kings, 2 Kings, 1 Chronicles, and 2 Chronicles. Then you will get the answers. So tonight is about reading the Bible. Yeah? Happy? No? Okay, class, your assignment is find out the weak. Find out the wicked deeds of Omri and Ahab. That is in verse 16. The statutes of Omri. List them down one by one. Right? And hand it in by, before prayer session. Tomorrow morning, 7:30. Okay, now, so, you find that these are the two major problems that the church is facing today, right? Now, so, you find that, you know, the prophetic books do not just talk about history. In fact, they talk about problems within the community of faith, right? And this is one example. This is one example. Right? Okay. You know, class, you know, we want the church to be very simple, and we want the church to be what? To be like the church in the time of the apostle. Very simple, simple. That's why, you know, sometimes people try to bring in, like, you know, management, you know, into the church. Like management, you know, which is used in managing a company, you know, like this kind of thing. Yeah, I don't think the church needs that. Right? Now that's why we are very careful with certain ideas about counseling as well. You know, in the world, it's like counseling is about, you know, making the person concerned, you know, feel very peaceful, very happy, you know. But this is not what the Bible teaches. When we talk about counseling in the context of the Bible, is when a person has a problem, you find that in most cases, if not all, is due to the fact that, you know, the person has sinned against God. So as far as Christian counseling is concerned, based on the Bible, is to expose that wrong so that the person can go to God and pray about it and ask for the forgiveness of sin. Right? Now, you find that once the relationship with God is restored, the person is back to normal. He or she is peaceful in the, before God. When the heart is right, then you have peace. Right? So when this relationship is severed, is cut off, without repairing it, then you find that you can never have this peace of mind. Right? Now, so we don't want worldly stuff to be introduced into the church. That's why we have to be very careful, you know. Sometimes certain situations are very tricky, very tricky. Now, I think now you are big enough. You know, in some churches, in the UK, we see that young church board members, you know, young men, young sisters, young brothers, young sisters, are chosen to be board members in the church. Obviously, you know, your generation is much more educated than the previous generation, but that does not mean that you can simply bring in anything you want into the church. No. Right? This is the danger that the church is facing today. Is that clear? Right? Okay, now we can come to chapter 1 now, verse 1. We're first going to go through the three kings. Actually, it's your assignment. I want you to read. But never mind, I've done mine already. So, it's not working. Okay, it's working. Okay, let's look at the first king, yeah? The first king mentioned here. Now, I want you to turn to chapter 1, verse 1. Alright. Now, the word of the Lord came to Micah of Moresheth in the day of Jotham. Now, was he a good king or a bad king? Now, I told you already the chapter. Which chapter is that? Okay. Sorry? 2 Chronicles, okay, turn to that. 2 Chronicles chapter 27. Okay. Now, let's just go through it very quickly. Yeah? Now, you find that this guy was made king, made the king at the age of 25. Okay? Now, so he only ruled for 16 years in Jerusalem. Okay, now, I want you to look at verse 2. Verse 2. And he did what was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father Uzziah has done, although he did not enter the temple of the Lord, but still the people acted corruptly. Now, so you find that he was quite an upright person. Okay? Now, I think this is essential, you know. As a child of God, yeah, what God wants to see is our rightness before Him. So whatever we do must be right before God. Now, there is a very interesting description given. Here it says, although he did not enter the temple of the Lord. Now, what does that tell you about the person? Why is this such an inclusion is given? Why is this description is given in the first place? Anyone knows about the history of the father? What did the father do? Yes. It's very good, yeah? Now, you see, you read the Bible, then you know. Now, what happened to him is, initially this King Uzziah was very good. Yeah? He was a good king. And the Bible says what? His heart became puffed up. Okay, we read the previous chapter, yeah, to understand a bit about the background. Okay, now look at chapter 26. Yes, verse 16, yeah? Chapter 26, verse 16. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction, for he transgressed against the Lord his God by entering the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. We know that this sacrifice is only limited to the Levites and the priest. You know, being a king, he is not permitted to enter into the temple to burn incense. And for some reason, here we find that he violated against the command of the Lord. Now, the Bible actually gives a very clear reason, because he became lifted up. Now, the question is, why did he become lifted up? Now, if you trace further back, you find that because he was strong. Yeah? Because God blessed him. Initially, he was good. God blessed him so much, so he became very strong. And this is where the danger is. You know, when a person becomes so strong and so powerful, so talented, so gifted, and so wise in everything that he does, you know, chances are that if he is not careful, his heart will become puffed up. And that will be the reason for his downfall. Right? Now, so the Bible says that in chapter 27, please turn back to chapter 27. Right? He did all things that was right in the sight of the Lord, although he did not enter the temple of the Lord. That is like a marked difference between him and the Father. Right? Now, in a way, we can come to a conclusion that he must have learned his lesson, not from himself, but from what the Father had done. Yeah? From the punishment that God has inflicted upon his Father. And so he learned a great lesson here. Okay? Now, we move on here. Now, I want you to look at verse 6. So Jotham became mighty because he prepared his way before the Lord his God. Okay, now again, here it tells us about this person. It's spread to you. Okay, now, whatever he did, yeah, you find that his way like were before the Lord. Okay, now it's like he presented everything that he did before God. Now, God, this is what I'm going to do. Okay, God, this is my way. God, you know the way. You know, stuff like that. I think this, again, is something that we can learn, yeah, from this person. So everything that we do, or everything that we have done before, we think about this. Are these the ways of God? Are they acceptable in the eyes of God? Right? That's why I think being a child of God, you know, at times it's important for us, this kind of questions, right? To make sure. Okay. Now, so briefly, this is King Jotham, yeah? Jotham. Now, what about Ahaz? What about Ahaz? Now, who was he? Who was he? Eh? Who was Ahaz? The? Okay, the son of Jotham. Where is it? How do you know? 27:9, yes. So Jotham rested with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David, then Ahaz, his son, reigned in his place. Okay, so it's the son. Now, if you look at verse 1, you can see a contrast here, right? And he did not do what was right in the sight of the Lord, as his father David had done. For he walked in the ways of the king of Israel and made molded images for the Baal. Okay. Now, sometimes it's quite hard to understand, right? The father was quite good, actually. Now, look at chapter 27, right? Practically, he did what was right in the sight of God. But the son here, yeah, he was doing things exactly the opposite to what the father has done. Right? Now, if I ask you a question, okay? Think about this yourself. Think about this yourself. Now, I assume, okay, all your parents are in the church, am I? Hello? How many of you are single believers? Only you believe. Okay. Your mom? Not yet. Okay. Okay, three. Only three. Okay. Apart from these three, I think all your parents are members of the church. Yeah? Now, I'm not asking you to make a comparison between you and your parents. Right? Now, think about all the good things that they have done for the Lord. Okay? They've done a lot of good things for God. Now, the question is, are we now doing the same thing? Or are we doing something differently? You know, in this case, you find that this guy here, he did exactly the opposite to the father. And the father was God-fearing before, but he was not God-fearing. Yeah? And what? He built up, actually, images for the Baal. Yeah, why? Because he walked in the ways of the kings. Now, if you look at chapter 27, verse 6, look at the ways of the father. He prepared his ways before the Lord his God. That's the difference. And when you look at chapter 28, verse 2, he followed the ways of men rather than the ways of God. That's the difference. Now, today you have so many friends outside. We know that the influence of this generation, the worldly influence of this generation, is 100 times, maybe 200 times greater than the influence that your parents encountered in their youthful day. Right? Now the question is, are we doing what is right in the sight of the Lord? Or do we walk in the ways of our friends, our colleagues, or do we walk in the ways of the Lord? Question we need to ask. Are you walking in the ways of the Lord, or are you walking in the ways of man, the way of your friend? Your Simon, you need to give me an honest account of what you have been doing. Is that clear? Okay, now we move on. Look at this guy. Now, there's something that you cannot imagine, okay? I want you to read verse 3. Next to read verse 3. No? I thought we are on King Ahaz. Chapter 28. He burned incense in the valley of the son of Hinnom and burned his children in the fire. Okay. Now, again we said, because this guy here followed the ways of men, okay? To be more precise, he followed the way of the false prophet, or Baal, you know, false prophet. You know this or what? This who? Elijah or Elisha? Who fought against how many false prophets? 850. Yeah? Where? On top of Mount Carmel, yeah? Okay, now, here you find that one of the practices is what they burn their children. Now you cannot imagine Do you like babies? My sisters, huh? You see baby, yeah?
Cuddle,
yes. Right? But these people, do you know what they did? They burned. They sacrificed. Something that you cannot imagine. So sick. What happened to these people? Right? Now, that's why when you read Hosea, because there's a spirit of deception. Spirit, because they have given ground, what? To what? To the evil spirit to come to work in them. That is the problem. You get what I'm saying now? Sometimes you just cannot figure out how can these people can be so cruel to their own children, brutal. You can't even describe it. What kind of parent they were. You understand what I'm saying? Okay. Now, one of the reasons why God eventually resorted to destroying them is because of this. Now, I want you to read Psalms 106. 106. Now, can someone please read from verse 34 all the way down to verse 39, 34 to 39. Next to read.
Just read the whole part.
Yeah, if you want. No problem. If you enjoy reading, yes, you can do it. No problem. Okay, now, so here the psalmist recounted what happened to the chosen people, all right? Now, here it's like, you know, the evil deeds are clearly, like, documented one by one. Now, one of them is what? Human sacrifice, not other human beings, their own children. Okay, now, if you look at verse 40, what does the scripture say? Therefore, the wrath of the Lord was kindled against his people, so that he abhor, a very strong word, right? To describe that kind of hate, that kind of anger, right? God, you know, had towards his own people, right? He abhor his own inheritance, right? Now, so that was the situation in the time of Micah, okay? Can you see now? Right? How evil the people have become. Now, why is it that they became evil? Why is it that they became evil? Because they adopted pagan practices, Baal worship. That's the problem. Okay? All right, now, you come back to 2 Chronicles, yeah? I'm still on verse 1 anyway. Oh, do you want me to introduce this bit or I just skip it? So we go to verse 2, verse 3, verse 4. We finish very quickly. I continue. I follow what my conscience tells me to do. Don't joke. Okay, chapter 28. Back to 2 Chronicles, chapter 28. Now, what happened to this king? Now, I think the story is quite long, yeah? Now, I think on one time, okay, I want you to read verse 19, yeah? This is like the conclusion given to what? To what Ahaz has done to the nation, okay? Now, verse 19, chapter 28, verse 19. Next to read. Now here it says, for the Lord brought Judah low because of Ahaz. Yeah, because of Ahaz. Now, what did he do? Here he said he encouraged moral decline and had been continually unfaithful to the Lord. And that caused Judah to fall away from God, right? Now, obviously, on one occasion, if you read verse 22 to verse 23, you can see that he actually committed apostasy, and especially in time of distress, we find that he became increasingly unfaithful to the Lord. He even sacrificed to the gods of Damascus. Now, the strange thing is, because these gods or goddesses had defeated him, so he took this idea back to his own country and built idols so that he could worship, these gods. So that's why the Bible says that he became increasingly unfaithful. Now, I want you to understand this, I think this is something very important, a very important lesson, right? Now, let's say, this is the line that we shouldn't cross, okay? Right? Now, let's say we make a mistake. We cross the line, okay? We cross the line, and we are told to repent. We are told that this is not scriptural, and this is not right in the sight of God. Now, if we can seize hold of the opportunity and turn back to God, then we are saved. We are saved. It's like we are back to the fold of the Lord. Now, the case here given to us is that this guy here, not only he did not return, yet he became increasingly unfaithful to the Lord. Not only he did not get rid of all the idols, Baal or whatever, blah, 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 he actually introduced more idolatry to the people. And in this case, the gods of Damascus. Right? That's why God became furious. That's the situation in the time. Right? Now, I want to turn to Micah, just to help you understand a bit more. Micah. Okay. Now, look at chapter 7, Look at chapter 7. Okay, now just give you a rough understanding. Look at verse 6, chapter 7, verse 6. Verse 5, Do not trust in a friend. Do not put your confidence in a companion. Guard the doors of your mouth for her who lies in your bosom. Okay, now verse 6. For son dishonors father, daughter rises against her mother. Daughter-in-law against the mother-in-law, a man's enemy are the men of his own household. Now, you begin to understand the background now, right? Now, why the writer, has said, the thing that he did. Okay, because of what? Because of the situation in the time of Micah. People turned corrupt because of idolatry. If you are a child, if you were a child that was born in the time of Micah, and your next door neighbor slaughtered one of his children and offered to God, how would you feel? Oh, maybe next time my mother would do the same to me. You understand what I'm saying? Right? So there's no respect in the family. Everyone is like enemy. You don't have to be very careful. It could be, my mom. My mom can come out with a knife anytime, You get what I'm saying? That kind of thing. That's why the entire nation plunged into moral depravity. You get what I'm saying now? So there's no godless nation altogether. That's the background, okay? Now brought about by this bad guy. Okay. Now we are on chapter 29. We still have this one, Hezekiah to cover. Hezekiah is a very is a very long character. So many chapters talk about this guy. Okay, any question? I'm tired. I'll do it maybe tomorrow. Any question? I'm still on the introduction. Okay, to be honest, is it too much to take in? Is it too much? Welcome. So you are sleeping.
Yeah, I'm joking.
Okay. That's why I say when you are here, you have to be serious. Okay, look at my face. Okay. Any question? Okay, repeat my assignment, yeah? Question one. What was the assignment again? Why Zion was destroyed, you need to find the reason based on the first three chapters of Micah. Okay? One by one. Now, you have to look at it in the context of the apostolic church. Yeah? And the second question. Omri only? Ahab. Both, yeah? Okay. Two of them, okay? Two, not one. Omri and Ahab. List down their wicked deeds one by one. So the answers can be found in 1 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, 1 Kings, 2 Kings. If you want, you can read up 1 Samuel and 2 Samuel, even though it doesn't help. Okay. No question. Okay, if not, then we pray. We pray. Let's pray.